Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Avalon Technologies second quarter fiscal year 2024 earnings conference call, hosted by DOM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Sumit Kumar of DOM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Allison. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Avalon Technologies. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Kunmayya Bijja, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Bhaskar Srinivasan, President, Mr. Sriram Vijayaraghavan, Chief Operating Officer Group, Mr. R.M. Subramanian, CFO, Mr. Michael Robinson, Chief Operating Officer US, and Mr. Suresh Vyas, Head Corporate Planning and Investor Relations. At this point, before I just hand over the call to Mr. Bijja, just want everyone to bear in mind that any forward-looking statements that are made during this call are subject to potential risks and uncertainty, both known and unknown. Without further delay, I now hand over the call to Mr. Kunmayya Bijja, CMD. Over to you, sir.
Good evening to everyone on the call. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Avalon Technologies, I extend a warm welcome to our Q2 FY24 earnings call. I would like to express our sincere gratitude for your continued support and interest in our company during the past few months. Before we dive into the financials, let me provide a quick introduction to Avalon Technologies, particularly for those who are joining us for the first time. Avalon Technologies has established itself as a key player in electronics manufacturing services with a global reach. Our journey began in 1997 with the vision of introducing top-tier electronics manufacturing in India. Today, we take pride in our leadership in high-mix, flexible volume manufacturing, serving a diverse range of industrial verticals, especially in intricate integrated solutions that require significant engineering expertise. We currently operate across 12 manufacturing facilities in India and the United States. We are also adding two new manufacturing units in India. Our key differentiators are, one, vertical integration. We are a one-stop shop offering a true box-build solution that involves PCB design, new product development, cable assembly, sheet metal, plastics, magnetics, testing, and logistics. We do end-to-end development from PCB design to manufacturing of final product. Two, our global presence, both in terms of manufacturing presence as well as our customer base. Three, optimal mix of today's established industries like industrial, rail, aerospace, auto, medical, and tomorrow's emerging industries like clean energy. Now, moving on to our business performance. In line with our prior discussions, our H1 results were tempered by the challenging economic conditions in the US. Despite our robust domestic demand and acquisition of marquee global customers, our India growth story is promising with a 16% increase in revenue and 26% expansion in our order book. In fact, our Indian manufacturing operation, constituting 75% of our business, achieved a robust 8.7% PAT during H1. However, the ongoing difficulties in the US market have resulted in a decline in our US operations, leading to losses that have temporarily overshadowed the strong performance of our Indian operations. Avalon excels in its global outreach, with over 50% of our revenue originating from the US. This has allowed us to gain a deep understanding of operating in a globally interconnected economy. Our presence in export markets has given us a competitive edge historically. However, it exposes us to regional economic headwinds, like what we are experiencing today. The Indian and US markets are currently operating in remarkably different environments, and their respective performances reflect that. During H1, our Indian market revenue grew by 16%, while our US market revenue declined by 14%. On that note, I'd like to highlight the hybrid nature of our operations. Since inception, we have been firmly believed in our ability to capitalize on a unique combination of Indian cost arbitrage and global margin profiles. At the same time, our US manufacturing presence plays a critical role as it acts as a gateway to acquiring customers within the US market. Having said that, presently, 75% of our revenues are manufactured in India and 25% is manufactured in the US. This 75% India manufacturing segment continues to generate industry-leading profitability, reporting around 8.7% PAT during H1 FY24. In contrast, 25% of US manufacturing segment is dealing with the effects of economic slowdown in the United States and is posting a loss. Current circumstances prompted us to seek greater efficiencies. As highlighted in our last conference call, we have taken proactive steps in response to short-term challenges in the US market. These actions encompass two measures concerning our US operations. One, optimizing product allocation from our US plant to our India plant. Two, rationalizing costs in our US operations. We have been diligently working in these measures over the past few months and already seeing some positive results. To illustrate in terms of rationalization of US costs, we have already achieved half of our targeted improvements, and the remaining changes are expected to be seen in the next 3 to 6 months. The outcomes of these measures will gradually become more apparent in our upcoming quarters. While discussing our US operations, I would like to take some time to highlight the crucial function carried out by our US manufacturing presence. It functions as a front-end streamlining customer onboarding and serves as a beachhead to expand our market footprint. Additionally, it empowers us to position ourselves better from the perspective of the Inflation Reduction Act, a substantial $390 billion initiative advocating adoption of clean energy utilization. These elements underpin the significance of our US operations in the overarching narrative of Avalon's growth. While we are optimizing our US operating costs, our organization is filled with enthusiasm as we recognize the significant decadal market opportunity that lies before us. Now transitioning to an update on the new business we have secured. In summary, our order book stands at ₹1,244 crores as of September 30, 2023, reflecting a 13% growth from June 2023. These orders are expected to be fulfilled over a span of 12 to 14 months. Additionally, we also secured contracts and letters of intent for an additional 750 crores with execution timelines spanning 2 to 4 years. We are excited to share progress with our two significant clean energy clients, one in the US solar inverter and battery systems sector, the other in the hydrogen electrolyzer domain. Both partnerships are on the verge of production set to commence in Q4 FY24. Our aerospace wiper blade assembly project in India is advancing smoothly. We anticipate commencing product delivery in the second quarter of this year. Additional to this, our aerospace cable projects have been approved for production into next year. In terms of new customer acquisitions, we are excited to share that we have secured a large contract from one of India's innovative EV manufacturers who will entrust us with the manufacturing of the charger and data transmission systems. Additionally, we have also had some major wins in the US. They are diversified across verticals. These include video surveillance systems for industrial applications, grid flexibility systems for clean energy, heat transfer products for the automotive sector, medical equipment and residential ventilation solutions. our role as a strategic partner to our customer is evident in our ability to retain all our customers in the U.S. even during these trying times. We are also excited to announce that CDAC has extended Avalon Technologies an opportunity to receive the Transfer of Technology, or TOT, as part of the National Supercomputing Mission for Rudra 1, India's Indigenous Server Program. Avalon Group has been a long-standing collaborator with CDAC within the National Supercomputing Mission and has actively contributed to the PCB design engineering of the Rudra 2 liquid-cooled server platform currently in development at CDAC. When we want to capitalize on these decadal opportunities, it is essential that we do not lose sight of the forest for the trees and plant the seeds of tomorrow. We are preparing our organization for the years of growth ahead. As a significant step in this direction, we are pleased to introduce Sriram Vijayaraghavan, our new Group Chief Operating Officer. He brings valuable operational experience from his previous roles in Wheels India, Caterpillar and Hertz, as well as strategic experience from his previous position at McKinsey. We are also strengthening our business development team in the U.S. by welcoming about three seasoned professionals, each boasting over two decades of experience in the EMS industry. As previously highlighted, achieving a full year revenue growth targets depends on the resurgence of the U.S. market. While our performance in the Indian market remains robust, currently, we lean towards favoring the lower end of our initially provided guidance with a negative bias. While we acknowledge short-term challenges, we maintain confidence in our strong underlying fundamentals and remain committed to achieving a stated long-term goal of 25-30% revenue CAGR over the next 3 years. To sum up, Avalon stands strong, navigating adversity with resilience and focusing on building a business of profitable growth in the long term rather than a growth at any cost in the short term. Before I hand over the floor to our CFO, we appreciate your continued trust and support as we work together to realize our vision. Arvind.
Thank you, KB, and good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining the call today. I would like to start this but talking about the critical issues influencing the company's performance, which KB had touched upon. Again, I'd like to reiterate them. These include the headwinds in the U.S. economy, which has led to a significant decline in sales from the U.S. market. Number two, our unique hybrid business model, which involves export-oriented sales with manufacturing facilities both in India and USA. While our export-driven model typically yields higher margins and better profitability, the current market conditions pose substantial challenges, much like other export-focused industries such as IT. As a company, we are actively working on adjusting our business strategy to align with the current market conditions. Our efforts include, point number one, heightening our focus on the Indian market to achieve a 50-50 ratio between the USA and Indian market, all the while maintaining our presence in the highly profitable US market. Number two, shifting more of our manufacturing operations to India and optimizing our US-based operations accordingly. It's important to note that the ongoing effort to realign our strategy and reduce business risk is a work in progress and may take a couple of quarters to yield tangible results. In the interim, it's crucial to view this quarter's performance within the above context and the above-mentioned near-term challenges. Now, let's move on to on the performance in last quarter in detail. In Q2 FY24, our revenue from operations is Rs. 201 crores, a decrease of 17.9% year-on-year and a decrease of 14.5% quarter-on-quarter. In H1 FY24, our revenue from operations is Rs. 436 crores, a decrease of 1% year-on-year. Looking at margins, our gross margin is Rs. 75 crores, down by 14% year-on-year and an increase of 7% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Gross margin as a percentage stood at 37.2%, an increase of 173 basis points year-on-year and 303 basis points quarter-on-quarter. Moving on to EBITDA. EBITDA is at 12.6 crores, down 56% year-on-year and a decrease of 22% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Look at EBITDA margin, that stood at 6.3%, a decrease of 541 basis points on a yearly basis and 62 basis points on quarter-on-quarter basis. Moving on to PAT. PAT stood at 7.3 crores, down 51% year-on-year and an increase of marginal 3% quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT margin is at 3.5%, a decrease of 235 basis points year-on-year and an increase of 59 basis points quarter-on-quarter basis. Coming to IPO fund utilization, as you know, we raised funds about 6 months back. Our approved IPO funds utilization consists of debt repayment of 145 crores, working capital requirements of 90 crores, and general corporate purpose requirements of 63.5 crores post-issue expenses. We have fully utilized all our IPO funds that have been made available. GCP of 64.4 crores, which is worked out based on estimated cost of issue of 20.6 crores. The BLMs have reworked and earmarked 21.57 crores for the issue expenses and transferred an amount of 298.43 crores to the monitoring agency account, which has been fully utilized. Utilizing a mix of our IPO and company generated funds, we have repaid approximately INR 200 crores of our outstanding debt in the Indian entity. And as of today at the group level, by end of this quarter, last quarter, we are left approximately about 100 crores of debt in our US subsidiary, CNA. Our Indian entities are almost fully debt-free. Moving on to the balance sheet side, our working capital days is 151 days in Q2 FY24, comprising of 112 days of inventory, 65 days of receivables, and 26 days of payables. Encouragingly, we are witnessing initial indicators of decline in working capital demands as the supply chain situation gradually normalizes. The once upward trajectory of inventory has reached a stabilization point. Balancing the imperative of working capital efficiency along with our growth objectives presents a complex challenge. We will do our best to manage and maintain the balance without compromising growth. I must add that while we are focused on growth, working capital cycles may fluctuate in line with customer requirements, including strict delivery timelines, testing new prototypes for customer, etc. We continue to focus on reducing our working capital, and with the current headwinds in our key market, we expect to fluctuate in the short term and hope to achieve a reduction of 10 to 15 days over next 6 to 12 months. Coming to cash position, as of 31st October, we have approximately about 125 crores of cash in terms of both cash, bank balance and investments. Out of this, INR 50 crores is earmarked for investments in our US subsidiary CNA to prepay some costly source of funds there. And the balance 75 crores approximately will be meant for surplus as a reserve and growth capital. Additionally, we prefer to keep the existing working capital lines available amounting to INR 185 crores. This additional cushion should allow us to aggressively bid for and execute larger orders which are in our pipeline, which are Andy talked about, and also being open for any inorganic growth opportunities. In summary, our Q2 FY24 performance was characterized by significant growth in the domestic business in spite of the US geographic slowdown and the related fixed cost. We hope to achieve the lower end of the guidance with a cautious outlook, and it's based on the US market resurgence and a strong domestic market outlook. Thus, in terms of FY24, we expect the H2 will be stronger than H1. With respect to margins in the upcoming quarter, in spite of the headwinds, with measures like saving interest costs, optimization of manufacturing operation, and cost rationalization in US, which our CEO talked about, margins will be under pressure in the near term, but we are hopeful of maintaining or achieving the margins similar to that of FY23 levels. With this, I request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question today will come from Naveed Barani of Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Naveed, you're audible. Can you hear us all right?
Opportunity. Yes, yes, perfectly fine. Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity, sir. Firstly, it's encouraging to see a gross margin expansion. And so wanted to understand around the sustainability part of this, as well as what is expected to drive the same going forward if it's sustainable.
I'll repeat the question. This is Subramanian here. You talked about the gross margins and you talked about sustainability of the gross margin. Is it right? That's the question?
Right. That's what I wanted to understand. Yeah.
So let me answer that. We have achieved a margin about 37.5%, which is obviously good. What we'd like to say is this is this quarter has been characterized by good margins in terms of couple of service business as well. The long run, I think we've been consistent saying 33 to 35% is something which we will look at the number, okay, in terms of the gross margin. This time it's been much better, but we cannot take it as a long run average.
Yes, that's helpful. And so second, in the last question which I had was that the growth in the Indian business which we saw this time was around 16%. Now, if I see this in the context of the current industry positioning, this growth looks slightly on the lower side. So can you give us some understanding on this, as well as how do you see the future outlook here? That's all. Thank you.
Absolutely, Naveed. This is Kunamad here. See, historically, we've been an export business. If we go back 3 or 4 years, we were 70-75% export and 20-25% India. To be honest, the potential of India was realized in the last, I would say, 6 to 12 months, where we are actively pursuing Indian customers in the longer term. So that's why you're starting to see the growth grow significantly now, and it will grow significantly as India is doing extremely well compared to the global economies. Did I answer your question, Naveed? So we started a little bit late to getting into the Indian market. We were primarily an export-driven business.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the understanding. Wish you all the best and happy Diwali.
Happy Diwali to you too, Naveed.
Our next question today will come from Renewed Bai of IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, team. My first question is if you can just share more details about the financial, if you can split the financial performance between India and US. You did mention about revenue, but how was it at the EBITDA and PBT level? So what was the EBITDA loss from the US business in the consolidated numbers? And PBT loss.
Okay, so in terms of revenue, the Subramanian here, I'll try and take that question. In terms of India and US business, India and US manufacturing business, that's something which we don't publish, but just a broad brush numbers in terms of allocating cost based on that. The India manufacturing margins remain, EBITDA is about 12 to 13% in terms of EBITDA, and PAT is about 9 to 10%, okay, and we have achieved about a 15 crores profit in terms of India manufacturing business in terms of the quarter.
15? What's the sorry? I missed the number.
15 crores. Okay.
15 crores of profit.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of the US manufacturing, as KB talked about, and I also indicated, okay, there is a drop in sales and the fixed cost is higher. So that's into losses, and what you're seeing is a net impact about 7.28 crores in terms of consolidated profit. Okay. So overall, I think the US business in terms of both EBITDA and at PAT levels continue to remain healthy and profitable, and the business model what we want to continue and sustain on. And it's a US manufacturing business which we need to focus on, and we have started work on that. It will take a couple of quarters to yield results, but that's what we want to continue in terms of onboarding customers in US and then moving on to India, which is where we should continue to make profits there.
Got it. And cumulatively for the first half of the year, what was the loss, net loss from the US business?
Broadly, it's about 15 crores.
Okay. Got it. So effectively, we're looking... Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
So this almost 7 to 8 crores kind of quarterly loss which this business is generating, after the various cost out actions that you have undertaken in 2Q and which you plan to do in second half, what are your targeted guidelines for bringing down the losses in the next two quarters? Assuming things in the US remain the way they are or may worsen in the third quarter.
Okay, so I think we did talk about the measures which we are taking. The measures are at two levels. One is looking at the operating cost and fixed cost, personal cost coming down, and also moving some of the production from US to India. So it's a, and as you know, moving production does take time in terms of a product. We need to work with the customer. So we have started the process, and the effect of that will be felt over next 1 to 2 quarters. Okay. On a consolidated basis, we hope to achieve the margins of what we have achieved last year, and that's what our target is in terms of moving forward.
So Renu, if I can add, yeah. Sure. If I can add to what we're trying to do is reduce, optimize our personnel costs, which is very high in the US. At the same time, move some of our existing customers to India, who have been there with us, and because the U.S. costs are rising, not for us, for everybody in the U.S. So that transition is also happening. So it's twofold. One is reducing costs, one is transfer of products. And we intend to keep only clean energy product manufacturing in the U.S. 50% of our customers agree, the other 50 we are in the process of making them agree, let's put it that way. Okay, so it's a work in process.
And what is the estimated reduction in cost for the US operations that we have in our mind, or which we are targeting? Fixed overhead.
I don't want to give a number, but it's substantial.
Got it. Surely. Second, if while you've highlighted entry into automotive EV business, can you share a bit more details in terms of what applications are we getting within the EV portfolio? You mentioned about charging solutions for the EV major. And by when do we see revenues kicking in from this customer? And will this be parked under the clean energy segment or the industrial business for us?
I'll answer the last bit initially, if that's okay, Renu. It will be parked under our clean energy business because we've been doing that. If it's EV, we are doing that. We are actually doing all the pieces for the vehicle. Okay. Any electronics part, it's an end-to-end solution with three or four different products going into the vehicle. And we hope to start the initial runs in Q4, and we have secured orders for the next 12 months.
So when you mentioned you're doing everything, is everything relating to the powertrain or also other electronics, including infotainment, or lighting and other solutions for the four-wheeler?
I don't want to say the 4-3 or two-wheeler, but it's three or four different boxes for the vehicle.
Got it.
It's not important.
On a box build basis?
Exactly. All of it is box build.
Sure. Thirdly, on the CDAC development which you have shared, so just trying to understand the revenue potential from this initiative of Make in India. And recently, one of the other leading EMS company had also announced getting approvals with CDAC for one of the supercomputing machines under the same mission of localizing these computing machines in India. So just want to understand Avalon's role here, the opportunity, addressable market, and in your view, how many other vendors are working with CDAC for the same solution?
So from what I understand, I cannot speak for CDAC. It's only going to be three vendors, and you know the other two. is what we understand. We've been working with CDAC for the last 4 years since our entry aggressively into the Indian market has been in the last year. Okay, so we are looking at. I mean, the target numbers is all over the place. I cannot pin to a number. You may have a better number on it, but it could be a three-way split in that case, or it could be three vendors trying to support what they can.
But can this become like a $5 billion business portfolio for us in the next 3 to 4 years?
That's a difficult. Is the choice in how they
of this IT product vertical for us.
Yeah, so because it's servers and it's higher end, that's why our interest. Okay, and since we are vertically integrated, we do a lot of the pieces internally, and we have done for Rudra One. Lot of apart from the PCB, we have done all the parts for them internally. Rudra Two is coming up. I think that's where the scale is going to come. So I'm hoping that we get a better understanding on the scale and scope as the government decides what they want to do with it. Because the whole IT policy is in different stages today. Once the clarity comes is when the Make in India piece. Because I don't think it's going to be a $5 billion opportunity, to be honest.
Billion rupee opportunity, sir, not dollars. Sorry.
It could be. When you said 5 billion, I apologize for that. Yeah.
5 billion would be a very realistic number, I thought so.
Okay. That could be, I would say, yeah, that's possible. I heard it was a billion for some reason.
I'm not talking in dollar terms, sorry for that. And lastly, while we spoke about all the new opportunities and the restructuring underway in the U.S., what would you like to comment in terms of the revised guidance for fiscal 24? Net margins, you have mentioned you want to target same levels as last year. But in terms of revenue growth, how should we look at the year and EBITDA margins?
See, as our focus is a three-year journey. And 25 and 26 are looking really strong today. Apart from this, we have added another 7 customers. One in the rail segment, you know, 2 in the industrial segment, 1 more division of one of our existing customers in the air segment. So we feel very confident of the future. The immediate question mark for us is how soon will the U.S. market come back? There are different views on it, and we believe that some of the inventory correction that's happening is very much underway, and we may positively see all these customers come back in the near term. But it's a toss of a coin when they're going to come back. So I believe that that is the crux of where the range will be. That's why I said we are on the lower end of our guidance. With a little negative bias, that could change drastically if one of our customers is back in production. And saying all this, we believe we have not lost any customer through this whole process. You know, it's just wait and watch for the business to come back. And these are customers who are very consistent with us for the last 5 or 6 years.
Sure. And just if you can remind us, what has been the lower end of the guidance? Maybe I've missed that number.
Ranadhan Subramanian here. In terms of the revenue guidance, we have talked about 15 to 25%, and as our CEO said, we are hopeful of achieving the low end of the guidance. Again, the key thing has to be when the US market comes back, because we continue to be focused on the export focused market.
Yeah, so maybe 10 to 15 may be a more realistic number to expect for the current year.
I leave that for you to work through it, but you know, the U.S. economic macro conditions are difficult under pressure. So this is what our hope, and we are working towards it.
Dan, thanks much, and best wishes. Thank you.
Thank you, Renu.
Our next question today will come from Meet Jain of Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Meet.
Welcome. Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand the end user mix right now. we can see clean energy. Clean energy mix has been going down, and the Q1 also has witnessed sluggishness. So earlier in a phone call, we said that our clean energy mix is growing at a very fast pace and will grow always be around 35%. This 35% is including the new orders of PV, I guess, thinking about, or it is entirely the US orders?
So it's a Meet, it's a mix. So we have two of our larger EV customers where we predicted that it's going to go to 35. We still believe over a period of time it's going to go to 35%. And the EV is an additional part to that. Does it answer that question?
Yes. And next is on the aerospace part. So can you give a ballpark growth? How did the aerospace division did in this quarter and the first half, and the new orders which we talked about, the factory transfer and the plastic tooling, how are they progressing?
So the usual aero business is going relatively the same. The wiper blade, as we have started the processes to get that into production, we see that coming on board in Q2 of next year. And the number of wiper blades, I think there's close to 200. The first set will start to go through in the early part of next year. The other good opportunity we have is in, not opportunity, we have already, FIIs approved for cables in planes, okay? And these are in the cabin space. And secondly, a new customer, a different division of one of our customers, has also given us first articles to be approved for cable, and these are substantial piece once the approvals come through. So for metal, we went to plastics, and now we are in cables, mostly in the cabin and some part in the engine.
Understood. And the last question is on the industrial side, industrials and the order book side. So current order book of almost 200 crores, can you provide a broad mix of how much is for US and the India business?
See, our goal always has been going into the future to do 50% India and 50% US, because of the reasons you see today, you know, the economic changes on both sides. So capture both. So our intention will always be to get to the 50-50 mix. In the last quarter, I think the orders from India were much larger in comparison to the US. But again, we are getting 6 or 7 new customers coming in the US. And though the economy is slow, we are acquiring customers. And we are also invested in 3 new regions for our sales folks with new hires on business development. Though we are reducing costs, optimizing costs in other regions, we are still investing in business development. We are a firm believer when the U.S. economy comes back, we will have much more to deliver.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome, Meet.
Our next question today will come from Karan Sonwell of Nabiche. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Hello, Karan. Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first question would be, there is an increase in, on the working capital side, there's an increase in inventory days, and there's a reduction in payable days, which is causing our net working capital to go up. So wanted to understand, when do we expect them to stabilize, and what will be the, the targeted level of net working capital days that we are internally targeting?
Yeah. Subramanian here, and I'll take that. In terms of, as you rightly said, net working capital is broadly flat between last quarter and this quarter. In terms of our guidance, we wanted to look at reduction of about 10 to 15 days in terms of working capital. But considering the market condition in terms of U.S. pressure and also the customer push out in terms of orders, it remained broadly flat. but we continue to be hopeful of achieving what we guidance gave in terms of 10 to 15 days in the next 6 to 12 months, okay, which will be essentially done by led by reduction in inventory days and also pushing up for payable days a little more, okay. In the long run, we hope to achieve 120 days, which is what we were pre-COVID, and in the medium term, not in the short term, medium term, we hope to achieve the same as well.
Okay. And also, in the continuing on the question that the last participant asked, I wanted to understand the mix of order book between segments. If you could, you know, broadly highlight which segment is contributing more to the order book, the current order book.
Today, I would believe it will be clean energy and followed by industrial.
If you could give a ballpark number, like how much portion would be would it contribute, the T&D and industrial part?
I would say these two will be north of 60% together.
Okay. Thanks for the clarity. And one last bit of question. I understand that many participants have already highlighted, but just wanted to understand, like, when we are saying that we are targeting an EBITDA margin of similar to the last year, we actually need to do around 15-16% EBITDA margin for the H2 as compared to H1. So are we confident enough to achieve that target for the next half of the financial year?
The Subramanian here, and I'll take that. As you said, yeah. Rightly so. In terms of our focuses of is on achieving the bottom line in terms of the PAT and the profit margins. So our focus and endeavor will be to achieve the same, and typically our H2 is stronger than H1. Okay. So what we believe is the market should come back, though we cannot predict the exact time. The market should come back, and we are also working on reduction in cost in terms of personal cost and moving some of the operations into India. So all of that should give some more savings in terms of the cost, coupled with savings in interest costs. We are hopeful of achieving the bottom line in terms of what we achieved last year. And H2 has to be stronger than H1, as you rightly said. Yeah.
Just a last question. You are saying that the Indian market is contributing to the growth. So I just want to understand, like, which are the main drivers of growth in the Indian market as of now?
So, if I can take that, the Indian manufacturing, when we say 75% of Indian manufacturing, it is some of the export as well as the Indian market, okay, together, okay. So, from the manufacturing standpoint, the growth is going to come from clean energy as well as the industrial side. And future, as you very well know, we've been in the rail industry for quite some time. We are seeing substantial projects from our existing customers, as well as we have signed a new global major in the rail segment. So we hope as India's growth story in rail streams ahead, we'll be a very, very strong part of it in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and all the very best for the next years. Thank you.
Again, it is star and then one to ask a question. Our next question is from Neil McCartney of Dala & Broca. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So most of my questions are answered. So just I have a couple of questions over here. So you just now mentioned that the rail industry, you believe that will become the substantial part of your business going ahead, that should grow. So what, do you expect this also to be in the 10 to 20% or... how do you expect this? Can you throw some color on that?
So historically, we look at mobility, which is auto, air, and rail. But EVs we count in clean energy, just for the groupings. So we believe rail today is a substantial portion of what we do. And with the India Growth Story, rail will continue to be a substantial portion of what we do. We are in railway interlocking signaling, we are in braking, we are hopefully getting into Kavach and as well as parts for our customers for the Vande Bharat.
Thank you, sir. And the second question is, historically, sir, what has been your trend, like H1 in between H1 and H2? Can you just clarify that?
H1, again, it varies, but broadly in the range about 45-55. Typically, if US is on more recession, it can be much more stronger. But that's the normal number.
Right. Yeah. And the recent customers acquisition which you have done, be it in the US or be it in India, so majorly, when do you expect these customers to ramp up and contribute a significant portion? Like, how much time will it take for them to ramp up?
So ideally, it's, you know, 4 to 6 months. In the air sector, is a bit longer. Air in the rail sector is a bit longer. If it's in industrial slash communication, and I believe in the EV side, we should be in production 4 to 6 months. So I would say late part of Q4. And primarily, a lot of these projects will kick in full steam in 25.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Our next question today will come from Ashish Rawat of MS Crosstalk. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So my first question is regarding the equity, which went down from 71 to 50%. So what was the reason, sir, and where we utilized that money? This is the first. Sir, my second question is regarding hydrogen electrolyzer. You have mentioned in your opening remarks. I want to know about this particular segment about product in terms of number. How in future, how big this concept is, sir? I have two questions, sir, please.
Okay.
So on the equity part, I'll take it. I think you are referring to usage of OFS money, okay, which got used between June and September. Basically, this remained in our bank account and then subsequently paid off to the selling shareholders. Okay. But otherwise, in terms of equity, there's no reduction. Yeah.
Okay.
So we've been working on the, yes, on the hydrogen project for the last 2 years, doing various components. It's a fairly large system. And it's a very expensive system in a normal running into lakhs. So we're building the first 100 this year, maybe 60 to 100 units this year. And the projections are anywhere from 300 to 600 the following years.
Sir, we have seen you recently participated in India Mobile Congress. Sir, what is our contribution to 5G and 6G networks?
Yeah, see, we've been working with various, I mentioned earlier in the call, we have, the last 6 months to a year is when we have truly entered the Indian market. We are very focused outside the country, even that was export was the key. And with the Indian economy booming and Indian market expanding with China Plus One and things, so we believe we have worked with various customers on 5G, especially getting them from PCB layout to prototype, and we've never taken company completely into production as it's evolving today. We see a big opportunity in certain parts of 5G. That is why we were in the conference. It is multifaceted, and I hope that will bear fruit in the future.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our next question today will come from Rahul Gattari of Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. I'm not sure if you answered this question earlier on profitability. So I want to understand, you know, the drop in EBITDA margin in this particular quarter, is this all mainly because of the US operations, or are there, you know, sectors or segment contribution which has increased, which has impacted your overall profitability? So,
yeah. Subramanian here, Rahul. If you look at the gross margin, it has gone up. So essentially, it's not a problem with the margins of the customers. It's been essentially led by the leverage impact, operating leverage impact, which is drop in the top line and the fixed cost being there, which automatically leads to the drop in EBITDA. So it's not to do with specific customers. It's more to do with the operations and the higher fixed cost, okay? And it's dominated by the U.S. market, where the top line did go down, and but the fixed cost remained higher. So that's been the pressure on.
You did talk about the growth. Is it possible you can give me the contribution of U.S. operations, U.S. revenue in the 200 crore that you've done in this quarter?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? What you asked? Sorry.
Well, U.S. revenue percentage. So, as of now, we do 75% of our production is done in India, and 25% is done in the U.S. If that answers your question.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Yeah.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference back over to Bhumika Nair for closing comments.
Yes, thank you to all the participants and particularly the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the very best, sir.
Happy Diwali to all, and thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to all of you all, and wish you a very good evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Dom Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.